From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is BDGA Radio News.
And welcome. It's the Disc Golf News for the week of August 1, 2005. I'm Brian Sullivan. It's our Pro Worlds wrap-up show. What a Worlds it was. We've got results from all divisions, plus tell you what other awards the PDGA handed out last week. World champ Des Redding is here. She's got some tips, especially for women, in the 60-second clinic. If you're headed to Am Worlds in Flagstaff next week, do not leave without hearing our report from Assistant Tournament Director Chris Kirby in Flagstaff. He'll tell you what to expect there. Jay Redding reflects on all things Worlds. In the Yeti Road Report, he's got some tales to tell. Yes, indeed. And meet the new champ. He's 20-year-old Nate Doss of California.
I do also feel like I have to prove myself to everybody, and that's why I work so hard at it, and that's my ultimate goal, is to be the best disc golfer in the world.
Nate Doss will talk with us about his game and his personal relationship with the late Steady Ed Hedrick. It's all coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by GottaGoGottaThrow.com, discovering the world at DTWorld.com. Also, Discraft at Discraft.com. No Obstacles Disc Golf at PLU-ENT.com. And Innova Champion Discs, InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion Line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
It was the week of weeks on the disc golf calendar. The PDGA Professional Disc Golf World Championships in Allentown, Pennsylvania last week. We've got results coming your way. We will begin with the Legends Division, 70 years of age or older. And we've got a repeat winner here. Ted Williams of North Carolina does it again. He's going to win by six over Virginia's Ragnar Overby. He takes second place. Paul Old Goat Fine of Pennsylvania takes third. Of all legends. In the Senior Grandmaster Division, another repeat champion here, Wyoming's Peter Scheib wins by 12, beating Kentucky's Doug Aulick, who gave it a good fight but couldn't finish the job in the end. Wisconsin's Duster Don Hoffman in third, and Tom Schaaf of California in fourth place for the Senior Grandmasters. Now to the Grandmaster Women, and a new world champion here in Alicia Rolano of New Jersey. She wins by the scant margin of seven throws over the course of a week's play. She beats out another former world champion, Sylvia Vokes. She's also a new Hall of Famer. In the Grandmasters Division, the wily old ones going at it. And David Greenwell of Kentucky, the favorite going into this, but he cannot make it happen. Rick Vokes, also of Kentucky, says, see ya! And he is going to be off to the races midweek. He's going to win it by five. Greenwell, second place. Randy Beers of Florida takes third for the Grandmasters. To the Masters women in California's Annie Kremel has no problem in this division. She's going to clean up, wins by 22. Pam Reinecke of Florida will take second, and New Mexico's Sheila Kirkham takes third for the Master Women. Now, to the Masters division, Brad Hammack, a three-time offender in this division. Would he make it four in a row? No, he abdicates his championship to Alabama's Dean Tanick, who had a tough time all week, as did all of these players. It was tight all the way through. Tanick is going to win by five in the end. Behind him is Larry Leonard. Joe Kelly of Texas will tie up with Jim Oates for third. To the Open women, Juliana Korver, Des Redding, locking horns until Redding caught fire with a one-under in round three. She never looked back. Meanwhile, defending champ Birgitta Lagerholm of Sweden was clearly off of her game in the early rounds, but would battle her way back to fifth place in the end. Des Redding, though, is going to be your winner and the only woman to finish under par. She wins it by 18 throws. Juliana Korver will take second place. Third place is a tie between the new up-and-comers Courtney Peavy of Georgia and Valerie Jenkins of Ohio. Finally, the Open division, the big kahunas. David Feldberg was leading after Wednesday, although Nate Doss of California was hot on his heels after a second round 5-under with a round rating of 1,062. Defending champ Barry Schultz kicking it into high gear on Thursday, however, turning in two smoking rounds to snatch the lead. Meanwhile, 11-time champ Ken Climo, maintaining his typical midweek position, kind of hovering around in the top 10, waiting to make a move. Everybody watching to see if he would once again pounce on the lead card in the final rounds. But didn't happen that way. Thalberg kept the heat on, but it was Nate Doss who, by the end of competition on Friday, had a 3-shot lead over Schultz. And the 17-year-old wunderkind, Matt Oram, came surging up the leaderboard to take sole possession of third place. That was going into the finals. After Saturday, here's how it washed out. In the 10th spot, Brian Schweberger. In the 9th spot, Wisconsin's Chris Herron, followed by Tulsa's Kevin McCoy in 8th. Delaware's Mike Mosier takes 7th place. David Thalberg in 6th. California's Stevie Rico takes 5th place. In 4th, it was Florida's Ken Climo. Barry Schultz of Wisconsin, the defending champ, would share 2nd place with 17-year-old Matt Oram of Alabama. And your new PDGA Disc Golf World Champion is 20-year-old Nathan Doss of Santa Cruz, California. Congratulations to all of our new professional world champions. And that was how it went down in Allentown, Pennsylvania at the PDGA Pro Worlds. If you're a woman headed to Flagstaff next week, the new Pro Women's World Champ has some advice for you. Be aggressive.
The women's issue with women's play, it's a tough one because I think history and society and women themselves have fallen prey to not being aggressive, and that is one of the things that you need to be when you're a disc golfer. You do need to be aggressive with your shots. You need to put a lot of thought and a lot of body momentum into it. Just being able to propel a disc forward, there's a lot of energy that's built up in that coil, and so women have a tendency through history and through childhood and not to get sweaty, not to want to build up muscles. And we have to, as a gender, get over that and know that it is beautiful to be able to be athletic. Athletic doesn't mean to be mean, to be big. It's actually to be beautiful, to be able to stand upon yourself and work within yourself. And so you need to use those aspects. Women, to create a better throw, really need to drive from their hips and their legs because that's the most powerful part of their bodies, and you need to utilize that and embrace that part of womanhood. And so for women to get into it and improve their game, I think they need to just be aggressive.
2-time women's world champ Des Redding won her first world title in 2002. Her second came last week. Coming up, we'll talk with the new world champ, Nate Doss.
When you think disc golf, think no obstacles. No Obstacles Disc Golf is found at www.plu-ent.com. Find information about No Obstacles events, like the Discraft Michigan Disc Golf Series stops at Boyne Mountain and Boyne City, and the Shanty Creek Throwdown. Quality events, quality disc golf products, and outstanding service. When you think disc golf, think No Obstacles at plu-ent.com.
Hi, this is Ken Climo. You're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, I think one thing is clear about the results from Pro Worlds, and that is there's a new crop of disc golfer, and they're coming after, well, all of us. Names like Courtney Peavy, Valerie Jenkins, Matt Oram, all young players, all finishing extremely well in their divisions. And then there's our guest this week. 20-year-old Santa Cruz native Nathan Doss is now the Pro Open Disc Golf World Champion. We sat down and talked with Nate Doss a few weeks back before he became the champ, and we found him to be a very humble young man with a very bright future. We started off the conversation by asking Nate how he got started in the game.
One day my dad was watching the television, and in Santa Cruz they had the little local television thing, and my dad said, and this is when I was 6 years old, by the way, and my dad says, "Hey, I used to play Frisbee back in the day. Why don't we go check it out?" And we went up there, met some of the local guys, and been playing ever since. Since, you know, 92 actually was the first time I ever played at De La Viega, actually, in Santa Cruz.
Now,
quite often you find that kids under, say 14, really don't necessarily take to disc golf because, you know, they say, oh, it's too slow. You know, there's no running involved, you know.
Right.
And so you as a six-year-old, you just took to it like a duck to water.
Oh, I loved it the first time I played. I mean, at that point in my life, I had loved every sport that I had touched. But for some reason, disc golf, my dad would say, no, we're not going to go up. And I'd say, no, Dad, we got to go to the course. We have to go to the course. Just because I love being there. I love throwing. I love being out in nature. And it was just one of the funnest things at that age that I had been doing. You know, I didn't want to go play baseball. I didn't want to go play basketball. I wanted to go play disc golf at the course. You know, and that was pretty much what I wanted to do at that time. My dad would pick me up from school at 3:30, and I'd go till dark.
So you got a lot of Hall of Fame disc golfers out on the West Coast. So who are some of the guys who have helped you along and helped you to improve your game?
The list is too long to name all of them, but the main people, Jeff Lisman's got to be number one. When you have a guy like Jeff in anywhere near you, you just learn. You know, he's one of the best players to ever play the sport and probably the best putter to ever play. And so you learn a lot from him. Steve Rico, you know, the top player. I've always followed Stevie around. And the list goes on and on. But those two guys, as far as the West Coast goes, have influenced my game. But one of the largest influences on my game has been Crazy John Brooks, who really isn't from California or the West Coast, but he's lived out there a lot. And since the first time I met him, he really took me under his wing and taught me how to play the game at a competitive level. First time I met him, I was 8 years old, and I didn't know a clue. And at 8 years old, he was telling me this and that about the whole mental thing a part of the game. And, you know, because he knew at 8 years old the physical part of the game just isn't going to be there yet. But he was trying to teach me mental, and he would come back out to the Masters Cup every year, and for 4 days I'd be with Crazy John Brooks, following him around. You know, and that was one thing for me that was nice, is we had one of the biggest tournaments in the world at my home course. I could get to see Ken Climo, Jeff Lisman, Crazy John Brooks, Barry Schultz, everybody that came through, I could go and watch them eye for eye. And that's where I learned, was from watching those guys.
You are 20 years old now, and back in 99, when you were 14, you were the junior world champion. How did you decide, first of all, to compete in that event, and tell me what happened?
Well, I was actually 15 at the time of the world, but the year before that, the Am Worlds was in Wisconsin, and Steady Ed Hedrick, who lived in Watsonville, which is just south of where I live, called me up and said, would you like to go to the Am Worlds with me? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. You know, him and my dad had a good relationship, and I went and played that one, finished like sixth place, you know, at 13 years old, or 14 at that time. And then the very next year, he said the same thing, let's go. And I said, all right. And I went there, and Kansas City is just one hell of a city. I love that place. My scores were there for the finals in the AM division, the advanced division. And I just played unbelievable, and it's really odd because it was all due to Steady Ed. I mean, there's no way that I would have ever even thought about going to the Amateur World Championships if Steady Ed didn't say, Nate, would you like to go with me? And I really attribute all that to Steady Ed. He really took me under his wing. He literally paid for everything. And there, you know, there's just no other way it would have happened, and that right there probably set me off as far as going back east and playing tournaments. That was the first time I'd ever gone back east, you know, ever flew in an airplane, you know. And that's one thing that I got to thank Steady Ed for, you know. God bless him, and he's awesome.
You know, a lot of the players who are coming into the game now will never have a chance to meet Steady Ed Hedrick, the guy who, without him, we wouldn't have this game. He died in 2002. So tell us from your perspective, what was he like to deal with on a personal basis, especially for, you know, he was obviously encouraging you as a young player. So what was it like to hang out with him?
And to sum it all up, unbelievable. You know, when you love a sport as much as I do and a lot of these guys do, you know, you rarely ever get to meet the inventor of your sport. The guy who started your sport, you rarely ever get to meet him. And Steady Ed was just one of the most charismatic guys you'll ever meet. He would always be on the course, you know, at any day. If you wanted to play, you could call Steady Ed and say, hey, you want to go play? And he'd go out there. He might not make it the whole way, but he would try. You know, and he was always out there with the kids. He loved the kids, signing autographs, talking about the game, and just to be around him and know him the way that I knew him was unbelievable. You know, a lot of people just have no idea who Steady Ed was, and they just see him as the inventor of a game, but really he was just, you know, a lot of people thought that Steady Ed was, you know, a little, it was always his ideas, but that's how he was, and that's how our game got started. It was because it was his ideas and he ran with them. But it's awesome to have known Steady Ed before he died. And, you know, at the time he died, I was on tour. And my parents actually saw him a day before he died. And that was a rough day for the whole sport. But we all know he's up there flying.
So you are 20 years old now. And so what are you doing? I mean, are you looking to go full-time into disc golf? Are you going to school? Are you on summer break? What's the deal?
I pretty much am full-time disc golf. You know, I'm not on tour all the time, but I'm doing anything to do to play disc golf. I'm actually also a full-time student. I go to college, you know, for 8 months out of the year, 9 months out of the year, and it's pretty much a juggling match between going to class, getting homework done, and getting to the course to get those holes in. You know, I find myself a lot of times waking up at 7:30 in the morning just to get out on the course, just to putt for an hour on the course or to play 20 holes or whatever it is. But I'm willing to make that sacrifice. And at 20 years old, I've made the decision to try to pursue to be the best disc golfer in the world. You know, and it's going to take a long, you know, it'll take the work, and I'm willing to put the work in. But then again, on the other side, there's life. You know, you gotta look to the future, and that's why I go to school, and that's why I'm trying to get a degree. So I'm totally willing to make that juggling match. At 20 years old, I've made the decision to do that, and it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
So what are you studying?
Computer networking. It's I get the geek word a lot, but I'll tell you right now, I'm the farthest thing from a geek you'll ever meet. I grew up around computers, and they come so easy to me, and that's why I do that. But I'm a sports fanatic, and the geek word gets thrown around a lot. You can use it if you want to, but it's a future job, and there's a lot of jobs these days, and that's why I'm doing that.
We have been seeing you a lot out on the national tour this year, and in the 6 events you have competed in so far, you finished top 10 in every single one.
Yeah, this year has, in my opinion, been a blossoming year for myself. You know, I'd always been there. I mean, since the national tour started, I've taken second, I've taken fifth, I've taken fourth, I've taken thirds. But it was always then I'd take a 15th, or then I'd take a 12th. And this year, I really pushed past that, and I went to the Memorial for the first time and finished 6th there, which was huge for me. You know, took 8th in L.A., and then reeled off 3 consecutive 5th places where I was right there, you know, every time. And it feels wonderful that once, you know, you put the time in and once you've been on the course and taking your shots to finish 5th place. And, you know, I'm right on the edge, I feel like. You know, one stroke every time, you know, it gets tiring, but that's what gives me the drive to get on the course the next day and practice more and more and more. But it's just been a phenomenal year so far. And hopefully I can push through that and you know, get a win here for myself and to prove, you know, what I can do in the sport and that I am one of the top level disc golfers in this sport. I feel I am, but you know, I do also feel like I have to prove myself to everybody, and that's why I work so hard at it, and that's my ultimate goal, is to be the best disc golfer in the world.
Well, I think a lot of players can learn from what you have already learned in trying to reach the top levels of the game. So tell me, at this point, I mean, you're clearly tearing it up this year, and you're just this shy of getting to that level of a Kenny or a Barry or a Dave Fellberg. So where do you need to improve your game now to get there?
It's just the consistency factor. You know, I mean, you hear it all the time. I got the game, but I can just never get it there. You know, you hear that from the lowest guy to the top guy. The top guys just have that consistency there more often. You know, to finish fifth place, you it's hard to find something wrong, but there's definitely, you know, a shot here, a shot there. There goes your strokes. I've always said that I've had a strong mental game, and I still stand by that. Because people tell me, hey, I couldn't tell how you were shooting, even when you shoot 10 over or you shoot 20 under for a weekend, they can't tell. But for me, you know, the biggest thing that I need to work on is putting. You know, I can throw huge drives, I can throw tight drives, but if you can't make the putt when you get within 40 feet of the basket, you're not going to go anywhere. And that's basically what I work on all the time. You know, I'll go a week without throwing a drive, but I won't go at 24 hours without putting for a half hour. So that's what I've been working on, and I think that if I can start making a little bit higher percentage of my putts, that I will get up there with a Dave Fellberg or a Ken Climo or a Barry Schultz and try to put my name on the map as far as being one of the best disc golfers in the world.
Nate Doss is the 20-year-old out of Santa Cruz, California, who last week became the new PDGA Disc Golf World Champion. We spoke to him a few weeks back. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
Try the new Venom Maximum Distance Driver and the Drone in overstable mid-range and the new Pro D Plastic for superior grip even when wet from Discraft. So how many nicknames can a world's course have? Well, at least four, according to our man, Jay Redding. Here's this week's Yeti Road Report. Oh, and by the way, we tried to get you the song, that Billy Joel song, Allentown, but we couldn't. So just hum that to yourself now.
Well, for some, it was more like stuck here in Allentown. The economic impact for Worlds wasn't limited to food and hotels, as I know of two clutches, including our truck, that went out during the week, and I know of two groups whose cars broke down trying to leave town yesterday. But overall, it was a great week at the Pro World Championship on some great courses, decent weather, and some of the best media exposure our sport has gotten in a week's time. We started out with two teams of Iowans battling it out for the mixed double spots 1 and 2, and both Valerie and Avery Jenkins somehow tied in the distance competition, both obviously throwing pretty far, but into a headwind that definitely shortened both of their flights. The Masters lead card took time out of play in the early rounds for a moment of silence at the request of Jim Oates as his number one putter cracked and passed away. The beautiful and difficult Nockamixum State Park provided the most craziness for us this week, with nicknames like Rocks and Stixin, Lots of Tixin, Knock Your Dixin, and Lost My Disc In. It surely was a wildly place. I know of at least four ankle twists and two gashes requiring stitches on the open players. This on top of around two dozen bee and hornet stings for our top players. Woo! The Lehigh Valley was close enough to Philly that everyone was able to survive the week on cheesesteaks and water ices. Cheesesteaks. I ate lunch one day at one of the classic Eastern pizza joints where Wisconsinite Chris Heron had to order the whopping 28-inch pizza. The box was so big, the owner had to unlock the second door of the restaurant, and when the box wouldn't fit into the trunk of the Contour, we couldn't help but laugh at 16-year-old Double G Garrett Guthrie from Florida as he had to lay underneath the pizza box in the back seat all the way home. The pig roast at Dornay Amusement Park was an obvious highlight with the thrill-seeking segment of disc golfers. Highlights include watching PDGA Marshal John Lixit flailing arms and legs high up on the swing ride, Walt Snoop Haney having his manhood shamed into riding the loop-de-loop roller coasters, and according to the operators and onlookers, the biggest splash of the night coming on the splash landing boat ride when the 500-pound front seat duo containing Horrible Pete and Yeti made the big splash. The Saturday night players' party was also very hot, with members of the Frizzax, Team Trim, and the Europeans and others rowdily closing down the host hotel bar at 2:30 with lights flashing and staff yelling, "You guys have got to leave!" Well, congrats to 20-year-old Nate Doss, Des Redding, and the other world champions of the week. If any of them want a shot at the Putt-Putt World Championship, my title was defended twice with four aces this week, and I'm ready for more challenges. Come get you some. Roar!
Discovering the World has long been the leader in mail-order disc services, with the largest selection of professional and recreational flying disc products, plus PDGA merchandise. Discovering the World is a great place to find the disc you need for the sport you love. Online orders ship within 24 hours, and the new retail location is open 7 days a week to handle all your flying disc needs. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com. Discovering the World.
A whole bunch of folks headed to Flagstaff, Arizona next week for the PDGA Discraft Amateur Disc Golf World Championships. Now we're going to bring you a full report from that event next week on this show, but this week we wanted to talk with Assistant Tournament Director Chris Kirby about some things you need to know before you leave home.
Okay, for those of you who have never been here, Flagstaff is located at 7,000 feet at the base of an extinct volcano. A lot of times people are thinking Arizona, hot sun, desert. Well, you're going to get that in some places here, and you're definitely going to get hot sun up here because we're so close to the sun. The Olympic Training Center is here in town, and it's also called the High Altitude Training Center. Since the air is thin up at 7,000 feet, hiking around takes a little bit more exertion than it would at sea level. The air is quite a bit thinner, and especially at the snowball course, which gets up to close to 10,000 feet, it's much more difficult on the lungs and physically. It's really important to think about a few things when you're playing up here at these elevations. First is to bring lots of water. It's easy to get dehydrated at this elevation. The second is to wear sunscreen. The UV levels are extremely high. People that even have a good tan base get burnt pretty easily up here. Definitely wear hiking shoes and preferably waterproof hiking shoes. So Gore-Tex boots would be an ideal footwear to have around, and even bring extra pair, maybe bring an extra pair of socks with you. We are in our monsoon season right now, so we're expected to get rains every afternoon. Hopefully it'll be brief. And the terrain is very rocky since we are on the side of an extinct volcano. So some of your discs might get a little bit chewed up, and some of it's going to be a little bit unmaintained terrain. As far as the courses go, the majority of them are located in the Ponderosa Pine Forest, so they're shorter and more technical courses than a lot of people are used to. So work on hitting your lines, work on short shots between 250 to 350 feet, hitting very accurate lines along the way. Putting is a little bit of an issue up here for some people, too. The air is so thin, the disc tends to drop. The air doesn't hold the disc up quite as much as it does at sea level. In the same regard, when you're throwing a drive, and even an upshot, the discs tend to be quite a bit more overstable, especially when you throw at peak velocity. Basically, if you threw a roller disc at sea level, here it would tend to just kind of be a slight anhyzer and would end up finishing hyzer on the end.
Chris Barley Kirby is the assistant tournament director for next week's AM World Championships in Flagstaff, Arizona. He spoke to us from his home in downtown Flagstaff. at GottaGoGottaThrow.com. You'll find the largest selections at the lowest prices. They carry all your favorite brands of golf discs, bags, and baskets. No matter what you're looking for, you'll find the largest selection of everything for disc golf. And they can do custom discs and mini markers for your club or help promote your next tournament. Check out the online pro shop at GottaGoGottaThrow.com. The leader in high-performance disc golf equipment and merchandise is GottaGoGottaThrow. And finally, this week, we've got more award winners to announce because the PDGA every year at Pro Worlds announces awards to folks who done did good things the previous year. So we'll begin with the new Hall of Fame members. They are Mats Bentzon, basically the father of disc golf in Sweden, and former world champ Sylvia Vokes, your two new members to the Disc Golf Hall of Fame. Our 2004 Volunteer of the Year award goes to Pennsylvania's Nick Kite for all the hard work he's been doing on the course evaluation program. Your 2004 Tournament Directors of the Year were Becky Zalek, Steve Nixt, and the Des Moines Disc Golf Club for all the work they did at Worlds last year. The Bob West Award for Sportsmanship goes to California's Peter Sontag, and very, very well-deserving there. The Senior of the Year, Ted Williams. If you ever get a chance to hang out with him, you are ensured of a very good time. Rookies of the Year were Minnesota's Pete Middlekamp and Ohio's Valerie Jenkins. The Players of the Year for 2004, Barry Schultz and Des Redding. And the Edge Award goes to Jay and Des Redding. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of August 1st. Thanks very much to all the hard work done by John Dusler, his staff, and all the volunteers at Pro Worlds. A terrific job done by all. And thank you to the sponsors of this program this week. They are Gotta Go, Gotta Throw, Discovering the World, Discraft, No Obstacles Disc Golf, and Innova Champion Disc. And you bet you'll be hearing from us next week. We'll be talking about Am Worlds. And until then, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.